get started here in the Sunday morning service. If you were here for Sunday school, I hope you were as blessed as much as I was. It was good to hear from Brother McDonald, hear about the Jewish people. It's always a good thing to put in perspective. I think he's right. A lot of time us Gentiles do forget about the importance of what the Jews hold and the debt we owe them, and that they are God's chosen people. God has a special place in his heart for the Jews, and it's always good to have a reminder of that and to be praying for Israel and for the Jewish people. So I was blessed by that message. I'm thankful for it. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Jim Bush, way in the back, if he'd lift his voice and open our service with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day, Lord, we thank you for being here, Lord, and Lord, just us our time here, Lord. Let us lift you up, Lord, today, Lord, that we may talk about you, Lord, and learn from you, Lord, from your word. Lord, just help us as this time, Lord. We pray for people who couldn't be here, Lord, for sickness or other things, Lord. We pray for them that you just help them, bless them, Lord, and keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. And Lord, hope you move in our service, Lord, that our hearts will be right with thee, Lord, and that the Lord will move with us, Lord, and speak to us today, Lord. Let us have open hearts today, Lord, and let them in, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Christ.
Amen. I just want to read one verse to you quickly here. Psalm 95:1 says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Hey. I read that because I want to challenge you this morning. Let's make a joyful noise for the Lord.
Come on now.
You know, we have the privilege of serving a great God. God that loves us. God that sent his son to die on the cross. I think it's a good thing to praise his name. You know, he was saying this morning, "Oh, I warn everybody I can't sing. Trust me, there's plenty of people I can't sing." But that's all right. It says make a joyful noise, not a on-key noise.
It was a joyful noise for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's joyful to the Lord's ears, regardless of what note you're singing in, what key you're singing in. We'll sing in G, you sing in C. It's all right. Let's just sing out to the Lord. I want to challenge you to make it joyful, Lord, and let the Lord hear you. Praise him this morning through these songs. If you would, I'm going to ask you to please stand with me and turn over to page 530, and we're going to sing "A Shelter in the Time of Storm."
Secure but ever in thy time.
turn with me to page 383. 383. No, not one.
Come on. That's good.
Praise him because he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. What a friend. No, not one. No, not one. You come to Jesus, he'll receive you unto himself.
Yes.
That someday, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Glory to God this morning. Amen. Just want to make a few announcements here this morning. There's an offering plate back there. If the Lord leads you to, it puts upon your heart to give a little something to Brother McDonald. I'm sure you'd appreciate it. So little brown basket back there, if God puts that upon your heart. Lord willing, he'll be with us again this evening to preach for us tonight. Looking forward to that. Also, this coming Saturday, March 5th at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a men's Bible study, something the Lord's laid upon my heart for the men of the church here, whether a visitor or a member. I believe in these last days that we're standing.
that Christians need to start standing up and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, not necessarily handing out tracts or doing public ministry, but living for the Lord every day.
Amen.
That's what I mean, every day. Every day being a soldier for Jesus Christ. What's missing in this country, and I believe around the world, is true godly men. I got some things for the ladies as well, but for now, I believe the emphasis on, in my heart and my mind, is that we need men to stand up and be godly men. He read a verse this morning in Sunday school to provoke the Jews to jealousy by the way we live. We are not going to provoke an Orthodox Jew to jealousy if we're acting just like the world as a Christian. I can tell you that right now. Right. That ain't going to happen.
True.
There's some Orthodox Jews out there that I'm afraid are living more holy than some Christians today. And so we're to provoke them to jealousy in the way we dress, the way we act, how we talk, that they look at us and say, what is different about you? I'm the one that should be setting the example.
Yeah.
The Orthodox Jew believe, I'm the one with the true God. I'm the one that should be setting the example of holiness, righteousness, goodness, faith, love, because I'm a Jew. But if they see a Gentile doing what they know they ought to be doing, that'll provoke them to jealousy, and I believe that's our job. So a men's breakfast. It was going to be a prayer breakfast, but more so, I got some things. I don't know how long this series will go and how many months it will go. Like a mini boot camp for us men to get back to where we need to be in our Christian heritage and to be the leaders that this country needs men to be. Amen. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We see what's happening there in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And some will say, well, that'll never happen in the U.S. Well, I'm sorry to say, but you're blinded, my friend. You're blinded. I just hope, brother, that I would be as faithful if all of a sudden the armies were marching in on our shores and missiles were going over my head, that I'd stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
So that'll be this Saturday. If any man's interested, I'm going to put a sign-up sheet tonight just to kind of get an idea for food. I'm going to be cooking for you. And so you should be excited because there will be toast. Don't worry, I'll give you some jelly and some butter. No, Lord willing, my wife and daughter will be helping out, which will be a blessing because you don't want me cooking. And somebody else offered, I know. So any of the ladies that are in part, I don't know. All I know is I'm not cooking because you don't want me to cook because, like I said, you'd be getting toast and maybe some milk and orange juice. Amen. So also, Lord willing, this week as well, the public outreach Thursday, 3:30 to 4:30, and then Lord willing, Saturday, 1 to 2. Again, if you're interested, if you can't make it out, please pray for us. I do believe the Lord's blessing it. I definitely believe and know that people are reading those signs, the tracks being able to get out. Again, we're not saying nothing at all. We're just standing there. We're not saying no words. We're just standing there. Just standing there holding up scripture signs. And people are reading them. And people are asking questions. And people are coming by and talking to us. I got to talk to an individual yesterday that was from the Dominican Republic. I got to tell him, hey, I lived down there for a year. So it opened up a door to talk with them. A little bit there on that street corner. So just pray for the tracks that are handed out. Pray for our safety. You know, that God will just watch out for us. I know the devil would like nothing more to stir things up. I believe he tried to do that last week, but the Lord intervened. Thank God for that as well. So if you're interested, just get with me Thursday, 3:30 to 4:30, and Lord willing, Saturday again from 1 to 2. Amen. Amen, brother.
All right, I challenge you to make a joyful noise, and I believe we've been doing that so far this morning. So I'm going to ask you here on this final song if we can just sing out to the Lord. It's going to be page 633, Hold the Fort. I'm going to ask you to please stand, and we're going to do something a little different here that we haven't done before. I'm going to ask you to grab your Bible with you. We see in the courses, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. The answer is right here.
Hey,
when we get to that part in that chorus, we're going to wave the answer back to heaven while we're singing it. So let's sing out for God's glory here. Hold the Fort, page 633.
Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Take the Bible this morning. Continue on the little series that I know God put on my heart. I don't know how little it's going to be. It's probably going to be a pretty big series. Last couple of weeks we've been looking at how Moses anointed Aaron to be the high priest, and how he was anointed and consecrated and sanctified for the master, for the use there in the temple, in the tabernacle, to bring the sacrifices and the atonement and the worship to God in the proper way. We looked at how in our lives we need to be anointed, we need to be saved, we need to be consecrated, and we also need to be set apart for God's use. And I'd like to, as the Lord would allow, to go through, like I said earlier, the kings of Judah in particular, and look at how they lived their lives in the sense of how they treated the house of God, how they treated the temple. It's, I got a green light to this. You try to turn them off on our own. You good now? No. All right, so I'll try to use this then.
I won't run around the church this morning. That's going to be hard for me to do. When you get passionate about the things of God here. But like I said, to try to go through the kings of Israel, or Judah in particular, and see how they treated the house of God. And what caused problems with that and their mindset towards the house of God. Now, we get here, we're going to look not at the tabernacle because it's in David's heart now to build the temple. And we looked at some scriptures, and you know the scriptures, and how now that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I also want to look at this as not only just ourselves as Christians, how we handle and we worship God in our own lives as the temple of God, but then also the church house physical that we see right here where we're meeting this morning, okay? But look at 1 Kings chapter 8 and look at verse number 17. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 17. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 17. The Bible says here, and it was in the heart of David, Solomon talking, and he says, it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord God said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for already the blessing we had in the Sunday school hour. And Lord, I pray just for your wisdom, guidance, and direction now this morning. Lord, I pray you clear my thoughts and my mind, dear Lord. Lord, that we just lead and guide and direct in everything that's said and done. Lord, no more, no less. Lord, I pray these things that are said, Lord, would stir our hearts and our minds to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, may you receive the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The temple's not built yet, okay? But it was in David's heart, and we're not going to go into all these scriptures of why it was in David's heart. But the Bible says here that it was in David's heart to build a permanent place, a temple for the Lord God whom he loved. Look again at verse number 17. Look what it says. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Brother, I'm going to ask you a question this morning as we go through these scriptures. You see, in order for anything to get done for the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially these last days that we're living in, it has got to be in your heart. You see, brethren, all of it revolves and comes back to your heart. What does your heart desire this morning? Where is your heart at this morning? Does your heart desire for your body to be a temple, a right temple for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in? Or is your heart in other places? You see, it was in David's heart to build a house for his God. What is your attitude and heart towards the Lord this morning? Do you desire to grow closer to Him in all ways? These questions I'm going to be asking because they're important. Because as we move through the scriptures and the kings of Judah in particular, you're going to see they ran into problems when their heart was not towards God. Their hearts were drawn astray. Their hearts were pulled away by false gods. By the world that was around them, it began to influence how they did things and how they thought they were worshiping the true God. So my question this morning is, do you desire a closer walk with Jesus Christ? Do you desire for Him to work in your life in all areas? Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 73 and verse 25. Psalm 73, verse 25. Book of Psalms, chapter 73. Verse 24, Psalm 73, verse 24. Look what the Bible says here in Psalm 73, verse 24. This is a psalm of Asaph. He says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Look what he says next, though. "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" You see, Asaph saying, "Lord, you'll guide me with your counsel, and after I have been guided with your counsel, after my life is complete, Lord, I'll be received to glory." But then he makes this statement in verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And then I love the next part, "And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee." You see Asaph's heart coming out now, and it's recorded in Scripture for these thousands of years to us of a man back then that he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And then he goes on to say that there's none upon earth that I desire but thee. You see the heart of Asaph. Look, this is an individual who lived in Old Testament times. This is an individual who did not have the new birth, yet his heart was towards God in all his ways. That's what he desired. Brethren, you know what? This week here when I got word and saw those things occurring over there in Ukraine, first of all, my heart is broken for those that are over there and what they're experiencing. But I do know this, that God has all things in control, and nothing has caught God by surprise with what is occurring. Actually, with what is occurring is exactly what the Bible says will happen. Wars and rumors of wars, well, here we go. These are the beginning of sorrows. Brethren, I say this as a Christian, not as a pastor, but as a fellow Christian and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to set our affection on things above. Get away, look, get off the television. Get away from the television. Stop wasting time. Brethren, I'm telling you, stop wasting time. We don't know how much time we got left. I believe it's short. I believe it's short. And when I say short, my short may mean 10 years. I'm not meaning weeks. I mean short, maybe 10 years. But what I think has started 2 years ago with the COVID epidemic and what we're starting to see now happen, brethren, I do not believe we're going to get back to normal. I don't think we'll ever get back to the way it used to be. But I believe I don't say that to discourage this morning. Actually, to me, it's exciting. It's an exciting time to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you walk out here, aren't you discouraged with what's happening? No, I'm excited in a sense because of what I believe the Lord Jesus Christ can do through the church in these dark hours that we're living in. But we need the heart of Asaph. We need the heart of Asaph. "Lord, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none, Lord, upon this earth that I desire besides thee." Is there anything on this earth that you desire before God? How you know if somebody really desires God on this earth? They'll desire truth. Somebody said, "Well, I love Jesus. Do you want truth? Do you desire truth?" Because if you desire truth, that means you desire Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, flip over to Psalm 84. Psalm chapter 84, and look at verse number 10. Psalm 84, I'm just trying to show you some instances in the Old Testament and where their heart was at. You see, David had a heart to build the temple of God. Look at Psalm 84 and look at verse number 10. Now, go over verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield. How much more today, brethren, if you're saved, God's your shield. Don't worry about what's coming down the pipe. If you're saved, he's your shield. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Look what he says in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. This is a psalm to the sons of Korah. The psalmist says here, I would rather open up the doors and be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm chapter 1, we've been memorizing it. Some have already had it memorized from previous years back on. What do you walk with? What do you stand with? And what are you sitting with? The psalmist here says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I just want to say a special thanks out here this morning to those that take time to come by and clean the church. Thank you. I appreciate it. As your pastor, I really do appreciate those that will take time out of their busy schedule to come over here and help clean the church. That's being a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Look, it'll go real quick if you notice if somebody isn't cleaning it. And I appreciate those that take the time to come over and clean the toilets. I, as a pastor, personally put a lot of notice on that. That as a Christian, there's a lot of Christians that go out here but they won't clean a toilet. Thank you for those that are willing to clean the toilet. It doesn't go unnoticed. And I know God doesn't. God notices it. Thank you for that. I just want to tell you thank you for that. That you're willing to do that for this church. And God bless you for it. Take your Bible. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27. And look at verse number 4. Just trying to show you what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. But I believe we have individuals in our Bible that show us where a proper desire and where it ought to be placed. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 4. This is David again. David writing this psalm. And look what David says in verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing, David says, I have desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why, David? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see David as a king. You see the heart of David coming out in these few verses that we're reading. David's heart, David's life, from the time he was a boy when he killed that lion and he killed that bear and he had to watch over those sheep. His daddy, I believe, raised him the right way. His daddy, I believe, put in there the right way to worship God. And David, from the time he was a young man up to where he now is a king, he says, my life revolves around worshiping and serving God. David's life was wrapped around being a blessing and an honor and a joy to his precious God that he served. He said, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, I know it's a carnal illustration, and I don't know if some of you might not know this, but there was a movie put out years ago. I don't know if it was in the 50s and 60s. I don't know when it was, called Fiddler on the Roof. Right? Fiddler on the Roof. If you've never seen it, watch it. There's some place to fast forward through because he sees a ghost and all that. But for the most part, it's a good picture of Jews. All right, and don't watch it with my pastor back home because he'll pause it every 10 seconds and give you an outline of what's going on with the Jewish people there. I won't do that to you. All right? But I say that movie, if those of you have seen it, there was a time there in that movie where Tevye makes a comment of that he would desire nothing more than be able to spend time in the scriptures. Here he was, a poor farmer on the backside. It was in Russia. Was he in Russia or somewhere in one of those countries? On the backside, just a poor Jewish farmer. And in one of the songs he sings, and he talks about that he would love nothing more. I think it was in the song, "If I Were a Rich Man." He made the comment that he would love nothing more than to spend time with the Holy Scriptures. And yet us as Gentiles take for granted the Bibles that we have, the multitudes of them, and how much time we do spend in them. Brethren, do you realize, I believe when you pick up a Bible, you're holding God's holy word. You're holding the Scriptures. You are holding something that some individuals around this world would give their life to have a couple extra pages of the Bible. Brethren, it comes back to the question, what do you desire? You see, brethren, as Christians, please hear me this morning. As Christians, you will have to give an account someday of how much time you've spent in God's Word. And how much time you've spent in the seats of wickedness. Brethren, I believe television can be used as a tool, but you better be careful with it. I believe a cell phone can be used as a tool, but you better be careful with it. I made a comment last week about Facebook, and I'm not too high on it, but I know some use it to keep in contact with family. You better just use it as a tool. If you're using Facebook or any other social media type of stuff, you better make sure that you're using it as a tool and not a means of entertainment. Good. Brethren, I'm serious. I'm serious. You know, and somebody made a comment to me, and I had never seen a scripture before this way. You know where it talks about in Hebrews chapter 13? It talks about how, take your Bible real quick and flip there. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and I believe it's verse 13. Hebrews chapter 13, 17. Somebody, two individuals have brought, and I, for whatever reason, I've never seen it this way. But look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. All right? Now look at this verse real quick. Obey them that have, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. I believe that's your pastors, okay? And submit yourselves. But look what it says next. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Somebody brought this across my thought to me, and they said they wonder and they believe possibly that a pastor will have to give an account for his church members and how they were in the church. So if I see it this way, as a pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church, those that are members, the Lord's going to ask me, how was this member in the church? Were they a joy or were they a grief? And I'm going to have to give an account, Lord. Think about that for a moment. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Well, Father, Lord, I'm sorry, but they just weren't. Lord, I don't want to say it this way, God, but they just weren't faithful to church, Lord. Or Lord, they caused, brethren, these are serious matters with God. I say that to not be a discouragement, but to be an encouragement. I believe a pastor ought to be one to help the sheep along to get to the desired haven. I believe it's my job. And I'm trying to take it every week. I'm trying to take my job even more serious than I took it the week before. Especially these days that we're living in. That God would give direction, wisdom, and guidance in every service that we meet in. You see, no day is alike. No day is alike. Brethren, my question is, may God help us to have a heart like David had. A desire to draw closer to the Lord and to please Him with all that we have. Take your Bible, look back over at Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse number 15. Take this verse, look here at Psalm 17, verse number 15. Book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 15. Look at David's heart in this verse again. No wonder he wanted to build a physical house, a temple for his God. Look at Psalm 17 and verse number 15. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Look what David says. I shall be satisfied. David, when will you be satisfied, David? I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David says, Lord, I can't wait for that day. Lord, I can't wait for that day when I awake with thy likeness. Lord, I can't wait for that day, Lord, that I can be there in heaven with you, Lord, and I'll be as you are, and I'll have a new body, and I can praise and glorify you as I perfectly can in that moment. But brethren, what a privilege it is today. Brethren, please hear me this morning. You see, when we get over to that other side, we're going to do it the right way, and it's going to be holiness, and it's going to be perfect, and there will be no wrong, there will be no sin, and all will be worshiping the Savior and the throne, God on the throne. We're going to do it. But what an honor it is for us now to worship Him and praise Him here, when you have to put to death the flesh in order to glorify God through the Spirit. You see, the flesh, sometimes because of pride, doesn't want to sing out to Jesus Christ. You see, when we sing songs here, when we open up those hymn books, or whenever we sing a song to God, we're singing it to Him. When you open your voice and you're reading those words, you ought to be meditating upon what you're reading. And as you put forth your voice, you ought not to be worried of how it's going out to others, but how it's going to your Savior. You see, I think our praises are to glorify God and lift Him up. David says here, I'll be satisfied when I can awake with your likeness. Now we see here with David. We see here with David that David had a heart. David had a heart to build that temple. But the only problem is God wouldn't allow David to build that temple because he was a bloody man. He was a man of war. David didn't do nothing wrong as far as that. He did the Lord's bidding. But he was a man that shed blood. And he was a man of war. And the Lord says the man that's going to build my house has to be a man, has to be a time of peace, a man of peace. But David helped get things set up for his son when he came on the throne to begin building that temple. Yes. Now we're going to look at four things here, and we're probably going to get through one of them here this morning. Four things. Now there are four things that need to be accomplished in order to build and maintain a proper and holy temple for the Lord, both physical and spiritual. Okay, both the physical aspect of a physical church, a physical body of believers, there's a way that ought to be done according to scriptures. Now, Paul talks about how there's differences of administration and differences of operation. There's going to be differences, but those differences ought never to be undoctrinal. That's even a word, all right? Now, look, I've said this before. It is impossible for Chris Welton to do things like Pastor Gary Freeman did it. It's impossible. It's not possible. It is impossible. Okay? And that's for any preacher in any church across the world. There may be differences of administration. There may be differences of operation. So long as it doesn't contradict scripture or doctrine. It's okay. Okay? It's okay. It's all right. All right? David had in his heart to build it, and the Lord says, no, no, you can't build it. Your son now has to come in and be able to build it. I believe God used this church here to bring it to a point, and now, for whatever reason, Pastor Gary was taken away, and now God's brought in another pastor and to bring this thing now forward to the next level. Not saying that anything was done beforehand, but it's going to be different now because you have a different man leading. Same thing with David. You see these principles in the Bible. You see these principles with new kings as they came in. And you see these principles in society. If somebody in here likes sports and you get a new head football coach, sometimes he brings in a new offensive coordinator and he brings in a new defensive coordinator and he changes things all up. It's the same game. But different coaches, a different maybe way of looking at how we're going to run this offense or defense. I'm using the Carno example, but it's the same game. David here had a heart. He had a heart for the things of God, but God would not allow him to take it to the next level and build the temple, which was in his heart to do. But then he brings in Solomon, his son. Now, I believe there's four things that need to be accomplished in order for this to be done properly. Okay? And these are the purpose, the pattern, the preparation, and the performance. That's pretty good for Chris Welton. Brother, I'm not a guy that does alliterations or whatever you call this thing where you make all your letters line up with one P and it makes, yeah. I was running around my office in there and said, Lord, look at that. I was able to get four P's at one to put forth what I'm trying to talk about. That ain't me. I was happy about it. Some of you are smiling. Thank you for those smiles because it's something special to me that I made four P's that mean something. All right? All right? I'll say it again. I'm proud of it. Purpose, pattern, preparation, and performance. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. So when we're going to look at these things, look, first it's got to be a purpose in your heart. You see, David had a purpose in his heart. He desired it. And I want to say this as an asterisk. Brother Glenn, I did not get that off of sermons.com, okay? I made that up myself, all right? All right? There's a joke in between us that I get my sermons online and some of them I do because if they got a sale, then I'll buy it, you know? Especially if they give you like 25 free, then I'll use it to get my outlines. Amen. All right, yeah, you can't pass up a good deal. Anyways, purpose. Look, brethren, what I was talking about with David, there's got to be a purpose. There's got to be a purpose. There has to be a desire, but then there's got to... What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church physical, Ray Street Baptist Church, and what is the purpose of us as the temple of God as individual believers? Why are we saved? Well, preacher, so that I don't go to hell and then I go to heaven. I think it's more so you're saved to now do the will of your Father. Yes, not going to hell and being able to go to heaven is like the whipped cream and the cherry on top. I got saved, brethren, because I love my Savior. I love the one that loved me and was willing to die for this wicked sinner. And he was a Savior that said, I'd be willing to pay for your sins with my blood on the cross of Calvary. Here it is. Here's the free gift of salvation if you'll receive it. And I said, I'll take hold of that thing. Because I now want to love him who first loved me. You see, if you get caught up that the only reason you're saved is so you don't have to go to hell and you get to go to heaven, your Christian life is going to be anemic. Yeah. It's going to be anemic. It's going to be weak. If all you're worried about, well, whew, thank you, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven, good deal, let's just go on now. You're not going to be a very strong Christian. But if you got in your heart, I can now love him back the proper way because he loved me, I can now bring glory and honor to the one that cared about me and was willing to die for me, I can now worship him and please him in a proper way, I now have the ability to live for God. I now have the ability to live for God, the one that loved me. Let me do with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see the desire. What is the purpose? Okay, once you have the purpose of why you need to live for God, now you need a proper pattern because you just can't do it any old way, the way you think it should be done. You need to do it according to a pattern, which I believe you find in the scriptures. There is a pattern on how a Christian ought to live. There is a pattern on what Christians should partake in and what Christians shouldn't partake in. It's just not the preacher's pet peeve. It's Bible. Right. Brethren, if I try to say anything to you, it's not my opinion. If you're living in adultery, that's not Chris Welton's commandment. That's God's commandment. So don't shoot the preacher. I'm giving you the book. Do you see? I'm a preacher, I'm a... say that to the Bible. Don't say it to me. You see, but most people won't do that to God. Oh, God, I don't like you, God. They won't do it. They'll easy to do it to the preacher, though. But in essence, if you're doing it to a good, godly preacher, and again, I speak as a fool, you're doing it to God. Do you believe God put me here? If so, then God's got a purpose for it. And again, brethren, I'm not speaking as a dictator, but if you speak against the preacher, you're speaking against God. Brethren, I take this serious because, and I've told you all before this, I got an attitude towards my pastor one time. God rung my bell. You know, I got a little too high and lofty and lifted up and thinking that, well, the church should go this way, and I don't understand why the pastor's having it go this way. And God says, okay, son, I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night to where you can't move your legs. And it woke me up. When I woke up in the middle of the night and I could not move my legs, it scared me. And I knew immediately, I knew why I couldn't move my legs. Because I had an attitude towards my pastor. Because he was going a different route than the way I thought it should go. And I even talked to him about it. But I still carried an attitude with it. And it wasn't nothing against doctrine. It was nothing against the scriptures. It had nothing to do with Bible. It was just a direction he thought something should happen. And I thought, well, maybe it should happen this way. And I pushed it a little too far. And God says, son, I'm going to get your attention. And immediately I started saying, God, please forgive me. I couldn't, brethren, roll over in the bed. My wife was asleep. She wasn't waking up. I had to go to the bathroom. And I say, Lord, please, please lift this thing so I don't go to the bathroom in the bed. I was serious. I was somehow able to roll onto the floor. I pulled myself into the bathroom. I'm not exaggerating. The whole time I'm crawling on the floor of the bathroom, I'm repenting, saying, God, I am sorry, Lord. I am sorry. I am sorry. Was able to go to the bathroom, got back into bed, woke up the next morning as if nothing ever happened. Legs fine, completely okay. The next opportunity, I went over to my pastor's house and I said, I am sorry. He said, what are you sorry for? I said, Pastor, I've had an attitude. I am sorry. He said, brother, no, don't worry. I said, no, Pastor, I've got to do this. I'm sorry. I hugged that man's neck. I said, I love you. I'm sorry. So, brother, when I say these things this morning, listen, God sets up pastors. I believe that. And I'm not just saying it because I am one. But we ought to be very, very careful. God puts a high premium on authority. Yes. High. Just read about Moses and Aaron. Yeah. Just read about Moses and Aaron. Look, brethren, if you don't believe or you don't like the way I'm doing something, talk to God about it. Because God has a way of ringing preacher's bells. But it's not the congregation's job to ring the preacher's bell. It's his God. I'll give you another hint here. Wives, if you're married and you got a husband, it's not your job to ring your husband's bell. Let God do it. You just be obedient, faithful to your husband. Now, if he's trying to get you to do something that's sin against Scripture, you go with God. But even when you go with God, you go with the right attitude. You see, even if you disagree with your pastor on something, you may make sure you do it with the right attitude. Yeah. Well, I have a right. Well, you're on dangerous ground. I'm not just saying it because I'm the pastor. You're on dangerous ground. God is a God of authority. God is a God of authority, and he puts a premium on authority. What were the Israelites' main problem? They were rebels. They could not submit to the authority of God. Brethren, a purpose, a pattern. Once you have a purpose that you want to build this house, that you want to build this church, that you want to build a proper Christian life in your own home with your own life, you then need a pattern on how it needs to be done. And after you have the pattern, now you need the preparation. You need to get everything that you need, your pattern says that you need. Now you need to bring those things together, and you need to have the preparation in order then to do the performance of what God's called us to do. Purpose, pattern, preparation, and performance. Purpose, the first one we're going to look at here this morning real quick, is this, the purpose. What is the purpose of the temple? What is the purpose of us being born again and our lives now being, our bodies now being the temple of the Holy Ghost? Number one purpose is to glorify, worship, and praise the Lord God Almighty. God has created us to bring him pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. We were created not to live our own lives, not to bring our own selves pleasure, but to live a life that brings pleasure to our Creator. That is why we were created. We weren't created to have a fancy home. We weren't created to have our own perfect little life that we want. We were created to bring God glory and honor and worship. Number two, we were created to pray. One of the reasons that the temple was created was not only to glorify, worship, and bring offerings unto God. The temple was created because it was supposed to be a house of prayer. It was supposed to be a house to where individuals came to seek and bring forth to God the things that were heavy on our heart and to hopefully receive an answer back from God. Where did Hannah go to pray? To the tabernacle. And Eli there thought she was drunk. But she brought her what was on her heart, her prayer to God. She brought it there when she went to the tabernacle and she spoke and lifted her heart to God. A place of prayer. Number three, a place for his name. One of the reasons the temple was made was for the name of God to dwell there. And number four, it was a place for God to dwell forever. Brethren, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And look, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We will always have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, within us. We are born again of God. He is now Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Glory to God for that wonderful truth. A place to abide forever. Take your Bible, look at 1 Kings chapter 8 again. And look at verse 22. The purpose to glorify worship, for prayer, for his name. And a place to abide forever. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 22. 1 Kings 8 and verse 22. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 22. Look what the Bible says here. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. Solomon comes before all the children of Israel, before the presence of God there at that altar. And what does he do? He lifts up his hands as he begins to worship God. Take your Bible. Look over at 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse number 4. 1 Chronicles 16, 4. The first thing that I mention as the purpose of the temple is to glorify, worship, and praise God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 4. Again, David's making a preparation here. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But look what verse 4 says. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Here you had the Levites that David had appointed to the certain ministry here of the Ark of the Lord. And what was it? It was to praise and thank the Lord God of Israel. 1 Chronicles 16, we're in that same chapter. Jump down to verse 29. Same chapter, look at verse 29. This is what he's saying to do. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Brethren, is he not worthy of all glory and honor? When we come and we pick up a hymn book and we begin to sing out the praises unto God, is he not worthy of it? Is he not worthy of the glory that could come forth from our lips unto him up there in heaven? He definitely is worthy of it, and we're to worship him in the beauty of holiness. The purpose of the physical temple was to glorify God, to praise his name, and to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Now the spiritual side. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. The book of Matthew, chapter 8, and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse number 2. Actually, we'll start in verse 1 here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Look what the Bible says here, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he, talking about Jesus Christ, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Right here is a perfect scripture also to show the deity of Jesus Christ. Only God, only the Lord, only God could touch a leper and still be clean. Think about that for a moment. The Israelites, they weren't allowed to touch lepers. If you touch a leper, you're now unclean just like he is. You see, look, you're not going to make this world clean. If you hang around the world because you're going to try to win them to Christ and make them clean, they're just going to make you dirty because it's impossible for an unclean thing to make something, or a person here like an Israelite, to touch a leper to help him and him be all right and make the leper all right, rather know the leper is going to make them unclean. And there's a lot of Christians spending time with unchristians, people that don't love God, and they maybe have in their mind, well, I'm going to bring them to where I'm at, when in reality, they're going to bring you over time to where they're at. Again, it comes back to this theme. Who are you sitting with? Who are you talking with? And who are you spending time with? Because if it's just in an entertainment type of a way, or a way just to have fun, and it, like I said before in the past weeks, that if you can hang around somebody as a Christian, you're a Christian and they're lost, and at some point somebody's not uncomfortable, something's wrong with your Christianity. There ought to be some things that get uncomfortable because you've got God and they don't. But here, Jesus Christ, he is God manifested in flesh, and he is the only one that could touch somebody that's unclean and not defile him. Look what the Bible says. And Jesus put forth his hand. Jesus could have just said, be healed, but Jesus touches him. Thank the Lord for the touch of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me this morning, brethren. If you got saved, the Lord touched you. There's no way you can get saved and say, well, I just don't know, because someone now dwells within you. Think about your homes, brethren. If somebody was living in your home you didn't know about it, you would eventually figure some things out. Imagine that. Imagine being in your home and someone living there and you not knowing it. That's the same way with salvation, of getting saved and saying, well, I don't... You just now have the Holy Ghost of God that just come in and indwells you. You better know about it. I heard a story one time of a couple down in South Carolina. And one day the husband was asking his wife, he said, did you eat those Oreos? Because I thought we just bought a pack of Oreos and now they're all gone. And she's like, no, I thought you ate them. He's like, no, I didn't eat them. Another day or two goes by and he's like, the chips, I thought we just bought some brand new bags of chips and they're gone. Did you eat them? No, I didn't eat them. I don't know where, I thought you ate them. No, I didn't eat them. Now, if that started happening in my house, I start scratching my head. So one day, the wife is getting ready to walk down the hallway and all of a sudden, this man steps out from one of the bedrooms. Obviously, she runs the other way. He screams his head off and runs the other way. Here was a man in the community that wasn't, he had some issues in his mind. He had crawled through the window and was living underneath one of their beds in their home. But my point in saying this story is eventually, if somebody's living in your home, you're eventually going to know it. And when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, you ought to know that you now have God within you. And you're now made a new creature. So now look here. Look what happens as Jesus put forth his hand. He touched this individual of leprosy. He's made clean. And look at verse number 4. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift of Moses, that Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. Brethren, this leper, who does not have the Holy Ghost of God, comes and worships Jesus, and he's made whole. Ought not we, as a temple of God, after we're made whole, worship God from cleansing us from the leprosy of sin? Do you think this man was so excited that he disobeyed what the Lord told him to do? The Lord told him to go to the priest, show himself to the priest, and go and offer the things that you're supposed to do as a testimony to the priest of that I'm not being a rebel against the law of God. But this man disobeyed God because he was so happy about what occurred in his life. He is now cleansed from leprosy. He is now made whole physically, and he goes around telling everybody about it. Ought we not to have the same excitement being cleansed from not just a physical illness, but the leprosy of sin? It ought to excite you that Jesus Christ saved you and that he purged you from your sins. Take your Bible, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The purpose of the temple, to glorify, worship, and praise the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul says here, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Not through just the ability of the Holy Spirit to worship God, but your spirit. That's a lowercase s. That's talking about your spirit. Your spirit, is your spirit willing to worship God in the beauty of holiness? Is it in your heart to rejoice in Christ Jesus? You see, I'm not Calvinistic. I believe God gives us the ability to either worship him or not worship him. It's not going to affect your salvation, but I do believe it might affect your reward. When you will get out of yourself and focus on God. Brethren, for the last 10 or 12 years now, when I sing hymns out, number one, I try to memorize them. I try to get them memorized. Sometimes because I don't want to use the hymn book. I want to be able to close it up for this purpose, that I can worship God and not be distracted. A lot of times when I'm singing, I'll close my eyes because I don't want to see what everybody else is doing, because I don't want it to affect how I'm worshiping God. You know why? Because my flesh could all be suddenly saying, I could see somebody and be like, well, they're thinking you're an idiot, so now it's going to affect my now how I worship God, because I'm worried about what others think of how I am worshiping God. Do you see? A lot of people are afraid to worship God in the right way. They're afraid to do certain things because they're too concerned what other people think about them. Brethren, ultimately that's pride, and ultimately that's selfishness, because you're actually just thinking about you and how you're perceived. Brethren, it don't matter. The worship is towards God. And that's why I close my eyes. I close my eyes, and every once in a while maybe I have to open it up because I don't know the verse completely, and I'll read. I won't even look at the congregation. If I'm up here singing, hardly ever will you see me look out at you. I will not do it. I'll try not to, because I want to make sure when I'm singing those hymns, I want to make sure they're to my Savior. And I don't want to be distracted or the flesh get in and hinder me worshiping my God. Romans 15, 5 and 6 says this: now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Why? That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Romans chapter 15, verse 6 says that ye may, that's talking to the church, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Brethren, I believe that one mind and that one mouth comes out when we open up our hymn books and we sing together as a congregation. There, if there's no animosity, if there's no discord, if everything is right and proper, it can then be one mind, I'll even add in there, one heart and one mouth as we lift these praises up to God. That's what the song service is all about. The song service is to be one mind and one mouth. Romans, Paul says in Romans, one mouth. For what purpose? Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit are now God's. You ought to worship him through it now. Brethren, it is an honor. You now, brethren, I think sometimes we don't realize the treasure that we now have. That we now have the ability and the cleanliness to now worship God in a proper and fit way.
that he'll now receive our offerings that we offer up unto him. That is an honor to be able to bring praise to the Creator. What an honor and what a treasure to do so. Lastly, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44. What is the purpose? What is the purpose? What was the purpose of the temple in the Old Testament times? It was to worship, glorify, and praise God. The same is true now in the church building and in our individual lives. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You want to see a pattern here of how you want to start adding souls to the church? Seeing people get saved is when brethren can be of one mind and one accord. One mind, one accord. What did the early church have? They had all things common. How many churches could say that today? That all the members had all things common. Well, this is my life. I'll live my life this way. You live your life this way. We'll just come together on Sunday, and then we'll do our little thing on Sunday, and then we'll go back home to our own lives, our own ways, and how we think. That's not all things common. Now, I'm not saying you should allow me to come over and sleep over at your house. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there ought to be a care for one another outside these doors. And not just from the pastor. Have somebody over for dinner. Not the pastor. Somebody else. Say, hey, if you're free this week or next week, I'd like to have you over for dinner. You know what that does? Look what it says here. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. That's church. And breaking bread from house to house. He said, preacher, you're just bringing some new thing. No, this was the way it used to be. You know why the early church had power? Because they all had one purpose. They all had one pattern. They had all one performance. They had all one preparation. Their mind was, how can we worship God? How can we serve him? And what can we do for our Savior? Not how I can do this in my life now, and how can I save money for this now, and how can I save up for this now. No, they had all things common, so much so that look what it says in verse 44. And they all believed together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. I'm going to try to use my money to help somebody who might not have money. I'm not going to store it up for a rainy day. No, I'm going to use the means that God's given me and God's blessed me with the money he's had and allowed to come across my path. And I'm going to use that money as he leads and directs me to use it now for his purposes and his ways. I'm not a preacher that talks about money. But our money is not our money. Do you understand this morning? Well, that's my money. I earned it. Well, then, okay, you are already off on the wrong track. The only reason you were able to earn that money is because God gave you the ability to earn that money. He's the one that gave you the legs to walk. He's the one that gave you the air you're breathing. He's the one keeping your heart beating. He's the one that's giving you the cognitive ability to be even think to do a job. That all comes from your Creator. Thus, everything we have, at least in my mindset, is God's. That van I got out there, I got it not for my pleasure, how can I use my van to help the cause of Christ? I got the van to be able to help try to bring people to church, not so I have a heated seat. I'm not going to sit on money. If I got money, then I'm going to try to use it for God's glory and honor. I'm not saying if you've got money to go out there and just I'm asking you to seek God and ask God to lead and guide and direct you in how what you have, whether it's money, time, ability, anything that God's given you, how can I now use this for the glory of Jesus Christ? You see, they had all things common. They saw a need, they tried to meet that need. Brethren, if you think I'm up here because I want your money, that's the last thing I want. I can care less about it. Some of you know me that. That's why one of the reasons I appreciated this church, because you had that little box back there and you didn't take up an offering. That's one of the reasons why I'm here. If this church would have taken up an offering, I would not be your pastor right now, because I would have never given at the time of day. Mm-mm. That's between you and God. Your giving's between you and God. Sometimes unless a man tells me, I don't even ask how much is in the offering. I don't want to know. It don't matter to me. If we just get $5 today, it's not going to change how I'm living for Jesus Christ. If we get $100,000 today, amen. Glory to God. I'm going on. Don't matter to me. I want to live for God. I want to serve Jesus Christ, whether there's $100,000 in the bank or $5 in the bank. Actually, I think it would be better sometimes if we only had $5 in the bank, because then we'd have to get a hold of God instead of resting on $100,000 sitting in the bank. Sorry for getting a little excited. But I'm afraid too many churches are resting in what they got in a bank account rather than getting along with God. And a lot of Christians' lives are that way. I got $500,000 sitting in the bank account. I don't have to pray as earnest. If you only got $5 and you got a $100 bill coming in, now you're getting a hold of God. True. Brethren, that is the truth. We're missing. See, Americans have gotten lazy. We're trusting in our insurance. We're trusting in, I'm not saying it's wrong to have these things, but don't put your faith and trust in it, because tomorrow all our banks could go dead and your money mean nothing, and then all that matters is how you're walking with Jesus Christ. Ask those people over there in the Ukraine what they're putting the emphasis on this morning. As they're sleeping in the subway. I saw one woman, she said, and she goes, she's like, I had just enough time to get in. I threw a couple changes of clothes in my backpack. I threw my laptop in there, and I got out of there. All my possessions are still back there. That's how Christians ought to be living today. I guarantee you, those people in the Ukraine right now in those subway tunnels aren't thinking about who's going to win the next soccer match in their country. I think that's the last thing on their mind. What they're thinking about now is communist occupation. And guess what? Overnight, their money could be worthless. Overnight. Brethren, don't set your affections on what you got in the bank account, because tomorrow, if something happens in our society and the economy, your money could be worthless. Brethren, that's why I'm telling you as your pastor today, I believe as sure as I'm standing here, God has sent me here, listen, to get our focus back on what matters, and that's living for Jesus Christ with the freedoms that we have today to use all our funds, to use all our ability, to use our time to bring glory and honor unto the Savior while we still have the freedom to do so. Now, I'm not saying, brethren, don't take me the wrong way on this. I'm not saying to go out here and just get rid of all your money. I'm not saying that. Don't go out here and say, well, preacher said I can't have but $5 in my bank account. I didn't say that. What I'm talking about is you getting alone with God and asking God how you can use what you have. Not to bless me. Well, he's just up there because he wants more money. Don't come at me with that. Don't come at me with that the preacher's up here talking about money because he wants more money in his paycheck. God forbid. God forbid I ever had that attitude. God forbid I ever ask for money to make me live a more comfortable life. I don't even like the house I'm living in right now, brethren. If I could, I'd move into a double-wide or single-wide trailer. I would do it in a second. If the Lord opened up an opportunity, my wife, we've been looking for him. If I had an opportunity to move in a single-wide trailer so I could use more of my money for the things of God, I would do it in a second. I would do it in a second. I come from a double-wide trailer down there in Charleston, South Carolina, $500 or $600 a month because it was old, to coming up here, and this is the best house my wife and I ever had. And I feel awkward even being in it. And I say, God, if I could find something even cheaper to where I could just use more of my time and more of my energy and more of my money to help you, dear God, Lord, I pray you'd bring it across my path, but he's yet to do so. Brethren, our mindset, what are we thinking? What are we thinking? Where is our vision? Where you say, preacher, your vision. My vision is God's vision. Brethren, one thing I want you to realize as I get ready to close up here. I know most men in here and individuals mean well by this. I know you mean well by it. And so I don't take it the wrong way when I say this. I know you mean well by it. But this is not my ministry. When you start saying it's a man's ministry, you start doing things not according to Scripture. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. Amen. It's not my vision. It's His vision. He just funnels it through me out to you. All I am is the conduit through which it goes through. I'm just the mailman. I'm just here to deliver the mail. I don't read your mail. Sometimes you might say, well, he's preaching at me. I don't know who it's going out to. You say, you stepped on my toes. I didn't mean to step on your toes. So often when I preach, I don't have individuals in mind like I can get them. I'm just the mailman. I try to get along with God, and whatever mail he gives me, I just try to put it in the mailbox. And I'm not a mailman to try to open up your mail before I put it in there to see what you're getting and give it to you. This is not my ministry. This is the Lord Jesus Christ ministry. Do you understand? If it begins to be my ministry, if all of a sudden I depart now you're still focusing on how it was his ministry, rather than from the very beginning, it's God's ministry. You see, when it's God's ministry, it doesn't matter what changes because the center is always the same, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you see? Do you see the difference between the two? This is not my ministry. I never wanted to be my ministry. I wanted always to be the ministry of Jesus Christ. To always bring glory, honor, and praise to Him. And I pray, God, you always help me to be the conduit to which you work through. The Lord Jesus Christ, may He always be magnified, lifted up, and praised. In all that we do, what's the purpose, brethren? What is the purpose? This is taking longer than I thought it was going to take, but I think it's needful. What's the purpose of Ray Street Baptist Church? What is the purpose of us being saved as individuals? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit now dwelling in you? What is the purpose for that? First thing we looked at this morning is to give glory, honor, and praise to the one who's worthy of everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for saving me, dear God. Lord, I thank you for opening my eyes to the truth. I thank you for the precious brethren here at Ray Street Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for these brethren, dear God. I thank you, Lord, that they put up with me. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that they put up with me. God, I pray you just help me to be the pastor that they need me to be. God, help me to be the pastor that they need me to be and you want me to be. Lord, for this purpose, dear God, that we would always glorify you. Lord, that this church from this day forward, Lord, would always, always be about how can we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we of one mind and one mouth bring glory to the God of heavens? Lord, help us now with these things, dear God. Lord, help us to take inventory. Lord, help us to take, Lord, as the Holy Spirit bore witness to it, Lord, help us to apply it to each one of our lives, dear God. Lord, help us not to look at others and what they should do, but help us to look at ourselves and what we should do. Lord, how can we better use our money for you, Lord? How can we better use our time for you, Lord? How better can we use these lives that you've given us to use for your glory and honor? And Lord, we'll praise you and we'll honor you in all that's said and done, dear God. And we ask these things in the name of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. I'd like to close with a hymn here. You get a blue hymn book. I got it right here somewhere. Yes, page up. Page number 419, 419, if you're able to stand. We'll close with this hymn here this morning. Page number 419.
Page number 419. Fade, fade, each earthly joy. Amen. Page 419.
Fade, fade, each earthly joy. Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie. Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness. Earth has no resting place. Jesus alone can bless. Jesus is mine.
Christ is reflected in us and want to ask us why we are different. We thank you, Lord, for bringing everybody here safely. Please return us home safely and this evening as well. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your precious Son, in our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Love you, Lord. We'll see you.